blessing. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you, from God the Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 281, stanzas 1 through 4, mindful of our human frailty. Is the God in whom we trust, He whose years are everlasting, He remembers we are dust. 1 through 4 of Psalter 281.
Changeless is Jesus.
scripture reading for this afternoon hour can be found in the second epistle of Paul to the Corinthians, the first chapter. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, but first we will make confession with the 12 articles of our Catholic, undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father, Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried, He descended into hell. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence He shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, unto the church of God which is at Corinth, and with all the saints which are in all Achaia, grace be to you, and peace from God our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. And whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effectual in the enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer, or whether we be comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. And our hope of you is steadfast, knowing that as ye are partakers of the sufferings, so shall ye be also of the consolation. For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure, above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life. But we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God which raiseth the dead, who delivered us from so great a death, and doth deliver, in whom we trust that He will yet deliver us. Ye also helping together by prayer for us, that for the gift bestowed upon us by the means of many persons, thanks may be given by many on our behalf. For our rejoicing is this, the testimony of our conscience, that in simplicity and godly sincerity, not with fleshly wisdom, but by the grace of God we have had our conversation in the world, and more abundantly to youward. For we write none other things unto you than what ye read or acknowledge, and I trust ye shall acknowledge even to the end. As also ye have acknowledged us in part, that we are your rejoicing, even as ye also are ours in the day of the Lord Jesus. And in this confidence I was minded to come unto you before, that ye might have a second benefit, and to pass by you into Macedonia, and to come again out of Macedonia unto you, and of you to be brought on my way toward Judea. When I therefore was thus minded, did I use lightness? Or the things that I propose, do I propose according to the flesh? That with me there should be yea, yea, and nay, nay? But as God is true, our word toward you was not yea and nay. For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by us, even by me and Silvanus and Timotheus, was not yea and nay, but in him was yea. For all the promises of God in him are yea, and in him amen unto the glory of God by us. Now he, which establisheth us with you in Christ and hath anointed us, is God, who hath also sealed us and given the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. Moreover, I call God for a record upon my soul, and that to spare you I came not as yet unto Corinth. Not for that we have dominion over your faith, but are helpers of your joy, for by faith ye stand. So far the reading of God's holy word. Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Lord of heaven and of earth, we try to come before thee again for the second time in this thy holy day. And all things are naked and open before thee, with whom we have to do. Thou lookest not upon the outward appearance, but thou lookest upon our hearts. And what can we say but that what shall thou find but whited sepulchres, which appear so righteous on the outside, but are within so full of dead men's bones? And Lord, what can we bring before thee that thou may give to us a blessing? We have forfeited everything, and yet we ask it of thee time and again. Oh, then there can be one foundation alone that lies in thy own good pleasure, in and through that blessed and most precious mediatorial work of thine only begotten Son. Lord, wilt thou look upon him, and wilt thou thus remember us? For it is a church that will be received that benefit out of all that he has accomplished, and out of that satisfaction that he has given unto that justice of the Father. Oh, grant us to feel and to know in ourselves what we are, what we have become, in our deep fall in Adam, our covenant head, that we might learn to sorrow over our sin, that thou may open our eyes and give to us a true mourning, that we may not die as we have been born in dead in trespasses and in sins. Lord, thou didst speak in the life of Lazarus, to come forth out of that grave. And thou art the same today, yesterday, today, and forever. Oh, thou canst speak yet also in this day unto us and unto our dear children to come forth, and then we shall come. Then we shall be brought forth. Oh, give to us truth in the inward parts. And Lord, forgive everything that is sinful on the outside and on the inside. Oh, wash and cleanse us from all our iniquities. Remember thy own church. Grant them also that further knowledge, that instruction in the knowledge of self, that more and more they may come to agree with thy servant when he was brought before thee, and thou didst show him what he was, that he must confess that I abhor myself in dust and in ashes. Give thy people that place by renewal, and could it please thee to open unto them that mystery of free and sovereign grace. It is so hidden to that people who cannot see the way and who can only look upon all that they have done and all that they are. Lord, wilt thou open it in thy mercy, that they may receive a little relief in all their sorrows and tribulations, and wilt thou cause the joy to be felt within, the beginning of that eternal joy, when they may experience who and what thou art in and through thy beloved Son. Oh, make precious and make suitable that blood that was shed upon that cursed tree. Remember all that await thy blessing. Be with all of our government, those that make decisions on our behalf and that must rule and reign over us. Wilt thou strengthen them from above? But, Lord, give also a turning in this nation to thy law and to thy testimonies, that thou would give judges who may fear thy name and judge according to thy holy law, and that they may realize and feel that they also will stand one day before their judge to give an account of every judgment. Lord, that we also may see rightly that judgment that thou wilt bring upon the world. For thou hast an afflicted and a poor people that shall trust in the name of the Lord. And we look by nature for everything that is high and lifted up. So it was in the days that thou camest upon the earth, then thou wast rejected, because thou camest in all thy poverty. Oh, then so it is also this day, even in the midst of the church. Man looks at what is high, or he looks at what is lofty, But thou didst say, to this man will I look, even to him that is poor and is of a contrite spirit, and who trembleth at my word. Oh, that that may be our life, and that thou may look upon us to have mercy in and through thy own Son. Lord, wilt thou be with all that are in the prisons, give a true repentance, and give a turning to thy law and to thy testimonies, and that they may experience that there is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared. Look upon those that are persecuted for thy name's sake. We live in a free land, but others do not. Oh, care for them, encourage them, give a token from above, strengthen them to go forward, and to look upon to thee, and that thou may make it well. Look upon the mission. Wilt thou strengthen all that labor therein, far away from their loved ones? Care for all thy truly sent servants over the length and the breadth of this whole world. Could it please thee to send forth more servants into thy vineyard, that they may be truly called and truly thrust forth in the impossibility of self, but going forth in thy strength? Lord, may it be also our portion, that we may receive that strength and that ability from above. Also in this afternoon hour, help us when we will make a beginning once again with our Heidelberg Catechism. Oh, that thou may be on our right and on our left, that thou may give us instruction as we have read, that we also may comfort others with that comfort wherewith we are comforted of God. Oh, that may be living in our heart, that it may be felt within the church, that thy name may be glorified, that our sins may be forgiven. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter number 210, stanzas 1, 2, 3, and 5. To God will I direct my prayer, and He will make my needs His care. I trust Him still, though in my grief no answer yet has brought relief. With hands stretched out through all the night, uncomforted, I sought for light. Stanzas 1, 2, 3, and 5 of Psalter 210. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word, be instant, in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. That is, congregation, the exhortation of the Apostle Paul unto Timothy, young minister, and that is concerning sound doctrine. Doctrine, what is that? That is teachings or instructions, precepts. There are individual precepts, there are individual instructions and doctrines, and then there are also whole systems of thought. The Roman Catholic doctrine, the Protestant doctrine. Reverend Kersten has, in his Reformed dogmatics, brought together and compared those doctrines of the Scriptures in a systematic way. There are those in this world who pride themselves in not following any particular doctrine, saying that we follow not the doctrine of men, but we are a Bible church. So we go only by the Bible. But congregation, doctrine is such an important thing. Doctrine is not the invention of a man. No, doctrine is the word of God. Men have only compared the one scripture with the other. When those doctrines, they are scattered throughout the scriptures, and they have brought them together into one systematic whole, that we may teach not only what one a portion of God's Word teaches, but what that whole of God's Word teaches. And most of the time, when man is priding himself that he follows only the Bible, that is because there is a desire to walk in a way that is contrary unto the Scriptures as a whole. Why is doctrine so important? Because it is necessary for salvation. The enemy also knows this. And therefore that enemy is bringing his error. Paul is speaking to Timothy about sound doctrine. And that means that there is also an unsound doctrine, that there is also the lie, that there is also an error. Because we follow a doctrine which is called Protestant, that does not mean that we are not in error, because then there is also a Pelagian, there is also an Arminian, there is also a Socinian doctrine. Then they are also speaking about and drawing things out of that same Word of God. Many true things, but also many false things, and many things which on the surface seem to be true. And why is that? Because the text that is explained outside of the context of the whole Scriptures. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, it is the duty of the elders, of the ministers of the word, that they are watching over that sound doctrine in God's church, that it would remain sound. And that is something that will not entice men into the church, that will not draw men from the world into the church in and of itself. That sound doctrine, why not? Because sound doctrine, that is so against our flesh. We hate sound doctrine. Sound doctrine, congregation, acknowledges our deep fall. And by nature, man does not want to acknowledge his deep fall. Sound doctrine acknowledges the necessity of the Holy Spirit. But man is so proud, and he thinks even to do that spiritual work of himself. Sound doctrine that acknowledges the necessity of an inward experience. What did the Lord Jesus say? The Lord Jesus said in John 6, that except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and you drink his blood, that you have no life in you. And then what do we read? That so many people left him after he has spoken those words. That is so against our flesh. And now our fathers, they have expressed that sound doctrine in our Heidelberg Catechism, that we may hear Sabbath after Sabbath, not as a list of precepts of doctrine, no, but as that doctrine may be experienced in the life of God's own church. And then there are questions by which we may examine ourselves continually, whether we are not strangers of that blessed life of grace. We desire with the consistory to begin not where you have left off, but to begin at the beginning of the Heidelberg Catechism at Lord's Day 1. And therefore, we wish in this afternoon to draw your attention to the first question of our Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 1, and then for this afternoon only question number 1. Lord's Day 1, question 1. What is thy only comfort in life and in death? Answer, that I, with body and soul, both in life and in death, am not my own, but belong unto my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ, who with his precious blood hath fully satisfied for all my sins and delivered me from all the power of the devil, and so preserves me, and that without the will of my heavenly Father, not a hair can fall from my head. Yea, that all things must be subservient to my salvation, and therefore, by his Holy Spirit, he also assures me of eternal life and makes me sincerely willing and ready henceforth to live unto him. So far, our Lord's Day. The only comfort in life and death. First, the need for this comfort. And second, the substance of this comfort. The only comfort in life and in death. First, the need for this comfort. And second, the substance of this comfort. Our Lord's Day, that is about comfort, that word consists actually of two parts, that is, come and fort. Come, that means together, as we can hear that in words which include it, the word common and the word community, for example, then we hear something of a certain togetherness. Then we have the second part, that is fort, that is something that is used in military operations, some kind of an enclosure for defense, for protection, for safety, and that is very, very strong. Thus, comfort, comfort, that is a word that is meaning strong together. That is a fort for defense, that is safety in being together. That is often the case in this world when men mourn, when they are in pain, when they are depressed, then they comfort one another with each other's presence, that they are together. Before sin has ever existed in this world, comfort was not necessary. Then there was no pain, then there was no sorrow and misery, only joy and rejoicing. Then there was no need for comfort because there was never any separation. Then man was joined in his heart unto God, unto that will of God, to the command of God. Then there was no misery at all in this world. And now how different that has become. There is no man in that whole world that is not in need of comfort, more or less in this life. And man is always seeking that comfort, always seeking to be strong together, that is, with someone, with something, that he feels the necessity of this even in his nature. He is seeking the strength, for example, in numbers. When we have an army, then we are making ourselves comfortable with the knowledge that we are strong together with so, so many people. He is seeking that same comfort in his riches. Solomon says, riches, money, that is a defense. Then we feel comfortable when we have much of this money. We see comfort in our religious duties to satisfy our conscience. We see comfort even in denial. That is, not facing what is reality in this world. Solomon says, the simple pass on and are punished. What is a congregation that man is so afraid of in this world? That is death. Though many will not confess this, though many will attempt to deceive themselves, then man, he is so fearful of dying that innate knowledge that is in the heart of every man here below understands and knows that we have to appear before God's righteous judgment seat. And in our conscience, we feel and we know that we cannot stand there because of our sin and because of our guilt. Thus the fear to die and those fears, they may be suppressed in our life. Then we comfort ourselves, young people, with a long life that is before us. We comfort ourselves, older ones, that we say, well, we are still in good health and we are still in good strength. And we comfort ourselves with all our prosperity and try to bury the fear that lives in our heart, that we are not thinking about that time that we have to die. But those fears, they are reappearing in one moment. They are reappearing when we suffer an accident. They are reappearing in that moment that we receive the news from the physician that we have such an awful, serious disease. That reappears when we are coming into some danger in this world, then immediately then we feel that we lose our comfort. Why is that? That is because those things that we comfort ourselves with as we go through this world, they are not any true, they are not any real comfort at all. And so we can ask ourselves that very real, that very pertinent question that our fathers are asking here in our Heidelberg Catechism. What is thine only comfort in life and in death? That is not only in life, but a comfort even in our death. Congregation, it is a wonder that there is comfort. A wonder that there is comfort at all in this world after what we have done in paradise, and after that we have turned and rebelled against God. Then it's a wonder that man is not left only to despair and to look forward to that certain judgment and awful destruction that is coming. But our fathers are speaking about a comfort and not about two comforts. No, but about only one comfort in life and in death. So there may be many things by which we comfort ourselves in our life. But what will it be in our death? Because there is a great difference when we are sitting in our easy chair, or when death that is staring us in the face. That is why that we have to ask the Lord that He may teach us to die before that we have to die. That the Lord will show to us the reality. And so it is in that new birth. So we see that pilgrim in Pilgrim's Progress, the book of God in his hand. And when he comes to evangelists, and then evangelist asks him why he is so concerned. That man says, I have to die and I cannot die. I have to appear before God and I do not dare to appear before God. Oh, do you know what those fears and what those concerns are? In your own life, what is thine only comfort in life and in death? Oh, how faithful were our fathers. that they did not want to see us deceived for that never-ending eternity, coming before death with a false comfort. But congregation, are we also so faithful, and are we also so honest with ourselves? With all the comforts that man has in this world, he despises that one true comfort that is in our nature. That we are seizing upon every false hope, and we despise that which is real, which is lasting. And now what is that true comfort that is just the opposite of what the devil and this world is trying to teach us and what the devil is saying to us in our heart? What did the devil say to our first parents? They said, "You do not need the Lord." They said, "Be independent. Go on your own, be your own God. You can decide what is right and what is wrong, what is good and what is evil." True comfort, the devil said, and true happiness that lies in independence. Young people, maybe you think that is the same. That you say, true happiness, I will be happy when I don't have to listen anymore. When I can go out of the house. And when I can go my own way and I can do what I want. That thought is out of hell. That gives no happiness. It is just the opposite. Listen to what our instructors are saying. They say that true comfort and true happiness that lies in dependence. Who could be more comfortable than a little infant that is lying in the arms of a mother or of father? That child has not one care in this whole world, but so completely trusts in the care of his parents. So dependent. There is no fear in the life of that child. That fear in children that is coming when they grow older and they are learning that father and mother are not so strong and not so wise and not so able as they thought. And then they lack yet that true dependence on him who is only wisdom and strength and ability. Man, congregation, in his rejection of God, tries to comfort himself with everything in this world that is outside of God. Some trust in chariots, some trust in horses. We trust in man, we trust in our technology, we trust in our social policies, everything. Why do we do it? Because we are unbelievers. Because we have no faith. Because we do not believe that God is the living God. And so we are gathering to ourselves so many comforts in this world. But when we have to die, then we have to leave them all behind. Because we have to die all alone. And in that moment, every comfort that we have gathered to ourselves, that will fall away. And that is why our instructors are showing what is that true spiritual comfort that I, with body and soul, both in life and death, am not my own, but belong unto my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. Oh, that only comfort that is not that the Lord Jesus Christ has come into this world, that the Lord Jesus has suffered, that He has died, and that He has paid the price for His church. That is not what they say. No, that is not enough. Why not? Because it still lacks the application. How can that be a comfort unto me? When so many people, despite the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ, are yet going lost forever, nor do our instructors say that our only comfort is that grace is freely offered unto sinners. Though it is. But congregation, there is a people that understand that that is no comfort to those that have no feet to go and no hands to take of that proffered mercy. What do we need? We need to know that we belong unto Him. We need to know that we are engrafted into that vine, the Lord Jesus Christ, that living vine. Then we are but a branch of that vine. Then we are but a member of that body. Then I may know that I do not stand for my own account anymore, but that I stand for the account of the Son of God. That is already actually part of our second thought. So we'll go to our second thought, the substance of that true comfort. What is thy only comfort in life and death, that I, with body and soul, both in life and death, am not my own, but belong unto my faithful Savior Jesus Christ, who with His precious blood hath fully satisfied for all my sins and delivered me from all the power of the devil. Comfort that is over against what? That is over against trouble. That is over against sorrow. And we hear what our instructors, they are speaking of as that only comfort. Then it is not over against the troubles and the sorrows that are of this world, but it is over against spiritual troubles and spiritual sorrows. That is the sorrow for sin. That is over against the power of the devil. Do we have such sorrows? Thus, is there a place for that true comfort? Do we have such trouble with the devil? The whole world has sorrow. But the whole world does not have this sorrow, Paul says. Godly sorrow worketh repentance that will not repent be repented of. The sorrow of this world that worketh death. Thus, is there a place even for that true comfort which is over against those spiritual godly sorrows? Godly sorrow that misses God and that grieves over that missing and the hiding of the countenance of the Lord. Do we know what that missing is? Godly sorrow that is grieving over sin, that is mourning over that inward corruption of my heart. But now that sorrow of the world that is missing that only comfort, it has no true comfort. It is driving to despair. But that godly sorrow is such a blessing. Why? Because it is leading somewhere. Boys and girls, maybe young people that you say, that people, they are always so sorrowful. That you say, I am not so jealous of that people, but that sorrow that you see, that you feel, that you hear from that people, that is a sorrow that is leading to the only comfort in life and in death. That is a mystery. Or ask the Lord if He will instruct you in that doctrine, if He will instruct you in that mystery. What did the Lord Jesus say to His disciples? He says, you shall weep and lament. And He said, the world shall rejoice. And that is, young people, what the world is doing. When God's children, they are weeping and lamenting. He says, the world shall rejoice and ye shall be sorrowful. But your sorrow that shall be turned into joy. But how is that? That godly sorrow that is leading to that only comfort that is leading there in the way of the cutting off of everything that is of man and in the revealing of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because our prayers, they don't only speak about blood. No, our instructors, they speak about His precious blood. Thus, was that blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, was that ever made precious unto us? That is not precious to the whole world. No, many do not even need that blood, do not even want to acknowledge the doctrine of the atonement of the Lord Jesus Christ as necessary. It is not precious to many who are rejoicing in that name of the Lord Jesus Christ in this world, who never knew a need for that blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. But it becomes precious unto those who learn to die before they have to die. Oh, it becomes precious unto those for whom it becomes a reality that they have to stand before that judgment seat of God and who dare not to come there. Then that blood no remission. And that are expecting that their own blood will have to be shed. And that they themselves will have to pay their own price for their sin. Oh, becoming precious unto those unto whom the Lord is speaking. This is the cup of the New Testament in my blood which is shed for you.
Oh, is that not the greatest comfort, the only comfort, people of the Lord, in life and in death? Oh, to that shed not only, but that was shed also for me. And that by this, that wretched transgression of that law of God may be justified before a holy and a righteous God. But that by that shedding of that blood, that this filthy and polluted sinner, that he may come white and ruddy before the countenance of the Almighty. Oh, how precious is that blood. Then the conscience of that people may be set to rest already by moments in this world. And that missing people, they may already receive a little of that blessed communion that they will experience world without end. Oh, by Isaiah, the Lord spoke unto his church. What did he say? Fear not, for I have redeemed thee, and I have called thee by thy name. Thou, he says, art mine. Oh, what does that mean? Because the Lord is continuing through Isaiah to speak unto his church and to say to his church what that means when he says, thou art mine. And then what does he say? He says, when thou passest through the waters, then he says, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall that flame kindle upon thee. Let us sing first. Number 203. Psalter number 203, all stanzas. In sweet communion, Lord, with thee, I constantly abide. My hand thou holdest in thy own to keep me near thy side. 1 through 5 of Psalter 203. and so preserves me, that without the will of my heavenly Father, not a hair can fall from my head, yea, that all things must be subservient to my salvation, and therefore, by his Holy Spirit, he also assures me of eternal life. Oh, what is it that is the language of that true faith in exercise? Oh, how strong that language is. Then it can remove mountains. And only comfort in life and in death, everything. The rod, the chastisements, the blessings, all subservient, all serving one end, that is the salvation of my soul. Oh, could that people but believe it, as our fathers have expressed it here. That is the desire of the heart of God's people, that lively faith may be brought into exercise. And yet, how different than it often is, that they cannot believe it for themselves, and therefore they lack that comfort. Oh, it is not a people that lack the safety, no. But it is a people that often lack that comfort. And still that comfort is there, and they will know it by moments in their life when they may be given those moments of faith to believe it. When is that? That is often in the greatest trials, often in the greatest afflictions that people have to endure. When the world has no comfort, when the world that is in desperation, oh Hannah, she may lay all her cares before the Lord. And there she may be given to believe. Oh, that enemy had not stopped. But there she may be given to believe that the Lord would take it over for her. Gideon did not need a large army anymore. No, then 300 men without weapons, that was sufficient for Gideon. When he may know that the Lord was on his side, then David only needed a sling and stones. When he may know that the Lord was with him. Oh, blessed comfort. To know, congregation, that we do not stand for ourselves, that we do not stand for our own cause, that we do not stand in our own strength. Therefore, by his Holy Spirit, he assures me of eternal life, and makes me sincerely willing and ready henceforth to live unto him. Not he makes me able to live unto him. No, then I could sanctify and I could wash myself and make myself a fit for God. That is the Roman Catholic doctrine. That is to put the sanctification before the justification. But it remains a people without power to perform it in their own strength. Then Paul says, oh, wretched man that I am. That remains the language of that church to the last day of their life. It remains a small beginning of disobedience. And yet, what do our fathers say? Not able, no. But sincerely willing. Why? Because the Lord has a willing people in the day of his power. That becomes evident. Paul says, I delight in the law of God after the inward man. And that is now the witness of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit witnessing with the spirit of that people that they are the sons of God. Congregation. Oh, there is but one comfort. One comfort in life and in death. But what do now we know? We with our children of that one comfort. Oh, we have such a blessing above so many people in this world. And that is to have that pure doctrine according to that word of God. And we may hear that Sabbath after Sabbath, but what does it profit us in a personal way? The Lord, when He created men, He says it is not good that man should be alone. No, He has made man a social creature. In the trials and all that we have to go through in this life, oh, then we have such a comfort of our loved ones, the presence, the care, the concern, the sympathy of those whom we love. O congregation, how much more to know something of the nearness, of the favor, and of the communion of the true and the living God, to experience in our life that the Lord, He thinketh upon me. Oh, He has sent His Son as the mediator to mediate and to bring His people, His church, back unto Himself, back into His presence, back into His blessed communion once again. Oh, are we wholly jealous of that portion? The psalmist, he says, the Lord is on my side. What then can man do unto me? When we die, then we have to go alone. We can stand beside one another. We can stand beside the deathbed of our parents, of our wife, our husband, even beside the deathbed of our own children. But we cannot go with them over that Jordan. No, then we have to go alone. But then there is a people that will not go alone. Solomon says there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. And blessed is that people who have that only comfort that they are not their own, but they belong unto their faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. Oh, may the Lord make us wholly jealous for that blessed portion. And yet, people of the Lord, how often may you really believe it? Our fathers, they speak about the essence, the being of that true comfort. They explain what that true comfort actually is. And that is experienced by moments in the life of God's children here below. And then they may experience that with so much certainty and with so much comfort, even if it is only by moments. But for the most part, then the assurance of the faith of God's church that is so lacking. Oh, to know that I am not my own. And then really, so much of what that church may have in Christ, or they really may not enjoy, because they lack then that comfort from it. Neither is it, people of the Lord, to the honor of the Lord, when that faith that is so small and so feeble, can you make a difference in your heart? Or you say, just like the leopard can change his spots and the Ethiopian can change his skin. How much is that your burden? Or are you settled upon your lease? That you can make do with everything that you have received in your life. Oh, that only comfort, that may be bound upon your heart. The Lord Jesus said that to his own disciples. He says, ask and ye shall receive. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be given unto you. And that it may be. And that the people, they were like Jacob. He says, I will not let thee go, except thou bless me. Amen. O Lord, convert us. Show us the right way. And bring a jealous people for that only comfort. For we have no comfort in this world, and yet we sit so comfortably. Oh, we do not understand. Oh, awaken us to our death state and condition. And wilt thou make us uncomfortable, that we may begin to seek and to run after thee. Lord, wilt thou supply, look upon us in the remainder of this day. Wilt thou bless thy word, give thought, meditation thereon, and thy indispensable blessing help us further in the other congregation in this night. Spare us over all our ways. And wilt thou be with us in the week to come, each one in our place in this world, that thy word may be the meditation continually of our heart, that we may seek thee and find thee, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Our closing psalter is number 355, 1, 2, and 3. All who with heart confiding depend on God alone, like Zion's mount abiding, shall ne'er be overthrown. Like Zion's city bounded by guarding mountains broad, his people are surrounded forever by their God. 1, 2, and 3 of Psalter number 355.
Blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.